Do it like this. Recording
Yeah,
camera.
it is always being recorded.
We're
All
always
right.
watching. I'm
Hold on a
always
second.
watching Wazowski.
Ugh, there we go. Sorry, I have to mute the thing because it I then hear it. So, hi guys, welcome to the
Toddcast.
Toddcast. Party time. Excellent. Yeah.
This is Zoom. This is Zoom. Whoa.
Whoa.
Thank you, Wayne's World, for always
Oh
making
my
me use my
God.
camera like a 4-year-old.
Right? Well, we'll see if a couple people hop on here. It'll be all right.
I know Ron's not, because it's I think he said his 21st wedding anniversary today, so
Holy crap.
congratulations, Ron.
That's awesome. My 14th year anniversary is in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from yesterday.
Awesome.
So, yep. But 16 years together, it's a little nuts. A little nuts.
I did this thing where I'm so tired and lazy that there's like a hair here bothering me, so I just went like this and left it, and now I feel like I should be churning butter or something, and I hate it, but I'm too tired to fix it.
All right. I understand.
Amish Tim it is.
I like Amish Tim's beard. Now I just need to get you one of those straw hats and it'll be even better. That'd be awesome. Or the black one. The black one looks cooler. I
I'm
always
gonna
like the
show
black.
up to work with a horse and a carriage, horse
That'd
and a buggy.
be awesome. Park it out back.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we have some NDC stuff coming up just so people know. Every Saturday, just the Comic Cave clearance sale in the Elwood VFW. Kind of cool. This weekend, we have two big events, dos events. One is the Secret Warehouse sale. So if you have your golden ticket, you can go tomorrow and dig through a bunch of books, most of which had never been out for sale ever anywhere in our stores. I mean, they've been out wherever they were before we owned them, but whatever. That'll be golden ticket tomorrow, which is Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday it is 12 to 7 Saturday, and I think 12 to 5 Sunday. And then also on Saturday, which is crazy, crazy fun sale that everyone loves, is the customer appreciation sale. So we are celebrating 35 freaking years, as you heard Todd talk about all kinds of random shit, and ramble on, which was, in perfect Todd style. Definitely stop in your local NDC. All our dollar books will be 35 cents, except the ones at the Secret Warehouse sale, of course. And 25% off almost everything in the store. There are different things that everybody's going to not have on sale. So check with your local NDC before you go in there and think everything's on sale. It's not everything, but it's mostly everything. So it'll be fun. And then don't forget the following weekend, we have the 4th of July cookout and flea market in Cranberry. So if you're interested in setting up, it's $10. You can get up to three tables and you can sign up at our website to do that. It'll be good times. So. And all right, I guess we can talk comics. I think it's just me and you right now, to be honest. There's
It might
nobody
be.
watching me, but it's okay. Hold on, I gotta load your stuffs. All right.
There's a lot of good stuff to pick from this week.
Oh, I know, it was really hard. I guess I'll go first.
I
Wow,
can't
I
wait to
think I
hear about
actually
this.
showed these in the reading order.
Yeah. Oh, yes, this is the one I wanted to hear about, because when you sent me
So,
this, I was.
did you read it?
I didn't read it yet, huh?
Okay. So it starts out with Thomas Wayne Batman crash landing in on the The Calvin, what, like Superman, President Superman's?
Earth 2, I think.
I think it's Earth 2023. This is actually cool because, like, this book kind of it merged like the end of Death Metal with the Grant Morrison Multiversity book.
Yeah.
Which I really like the Grant Morrison book. So this was kind of cool because you see like everybody kind of talking about how the multiverse was a thing, but it's not a thing, but it is a thing. And you see like Alan Scott and Obsidian kind of talking about stuff, and they're going to meet Jade. And then all of a sudden, like the building she's in explodes. We don't know if she survived. And then you see Agent Chase with Director Bones. We haven't seen him in forever. And the DEO is apparently a thing again, and they're looking into this multiversity thing. And then they show you on the whatever the space station is that sees all the multiverse stuff.
Okay.
There's a really cool moment with Captain Carrot and Thomas Wayne. And then President Superman kind of comes in and is just like, yo, calm the fuck down. And then he's just like, you need to talk to Barry Allen to figure out who I am. And he's like, which Barry Allen? He's like, no, really, which Barry Allen? So I think this is actually Thomas Wayne from Earth, the previous Earth 2 from New 52 that got wiped out in the button when Doomsday Clock happened. So yeah. I'm really curious how they're going to explain him being able to exist through that. But they show the Flash going through Earth 13, Earth 9, Earth 6, 2, 22, 30, 42, and 51. And then he goes to Earth Omega. And Earth Omega looks like a giant wasteland. And they see that the Quintessence have all been killed. Like, all the Guardians of the Universe, like, the Spectre, Phantom Stranger, one of the Guardians, a couple other guys are all just dead. They're just dead. So then we see Psycho Pirate again for the first time in a while. And then there's this really cool scene that happens at a cafe where one of those people doesn't belong on that earth. And there's a really cool scene at the end, and I'm not going to spoil it for you because I don't really give a crap about that character, but I'm kind of excited that that character is there, that they've made that character the thing that he is at the end of the book. It's very cool. I really like this book. I thought it was very well written and well done. I don't usually say that about DC stuff anymore, but I really, really enjoyed the book. I thought it was very well done.
Cool. I'm excited to read it.
Cool.
Especially after reading the Infinite Frontier number 0 that ended with that version of Apocalypse, that new Apocalypse at the end of that issue, who is on the cover of this issue. So interested to see how that goes.
Right. All right. I'm just going to do these in the order you sent them. So Stray Dogs. Okay.
I'm like, man, I hate this book. Man, I love this book. It's like, just tired of seeing puppies get beat up. But if you've ever wanted to read an issue of a comic book where there is nothing but dogs leaping forward in splash pages, just spreads, this is the issue for you.
Right.
There's like 5 or 6 different spreads of dogs bursting through things. So the last issue left off with this dog finding and remembering about the owner. This was the last dog that and I don't remember their names very well, but this is the last dog that didn't believe all the other dogs, and then finally finds something to believe and just loses it. and attacks the owner when the owner finds him in this hidden room and goes right for his throat and grabs him on the throat, bites him on the throat. The whole thing is kind of a panic, and you're just kind of like, but the dogs, no, the dogs. You know, they're running. He's like, run, run. You guys got to get out of here. He jumps through the window to give them a place to get out to. This is the Sophia character, which thought she was really cool. She's like, no, I'm going to, she's like, this shit's going to end now. Like he already got bit in the neck. Like it's on its way to being over, but he's standing above this husky about to shoot this husky dead. Essentially what happens in this book is this is the dogs all find out and attack back. But the interesting part is they have to figure out how to alert other people to what's going on so they could save themselves and anybody else that this guy would go after, humans and people. And the dog that you saw at the beginning, the older dog, decides to go out to the street and he jumps into traffic.
Right.
And he gets killed, but it causes a giant car accident. And then that's how they alert people that there's something going on. The guy ultimately does not do well with the bite to his neck.
Does he turn into a weredog? Because that'd be awesome.
No, no. it ends pretty much how you think it would end, in favor of the dogs, which I'm glad because they really put the dog. He loves dogs, and they have all kinds of things with dogs at the end of the book. But I'm like, stop doing this to the dogs. And then they have another series that's coming out after this, a follow-up series. Nice. There's going to be more dog violence. But it was a fitting end and a good story and really original story. And, you know, he was on, we talked to him, and he's a cool guy. And I'll definitely read the next volume when it comes out.
That's awesome. I didn't get to read this yet, but I did catch up on it. I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out this week that I didn't get to pick up because I subbed it at the Mills and I didn't get a chance to grab it yet was Vinyl Number One.
I was going to read it and I'm like, oh, he's probably going to read that. So I had already was almost done with my books when you had sent me your books. So, yeah.
Well, I will review it next week because I'm really intrigued to see how it went.
So Doug, also, don't worry, Doug, we're going to cover your book.
Also weirdly, Ryan and I were digging through some boxes the other day and we found a vinyl or a plastics number one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We were like, woo, look at you.
Yeah.
So I told Ryan he should buy it. So we'll see if he does. All right. My next book, Fantastic Four Life Story Number Dos. This is the 70s. This one was really on the privy of the Invisible Woman and really kind of laid into the idea of feminism and how she was invisible because no one kind of paid attention to her. She kind of became mom and then it was kind of the Fantastic Three and no one realized that she was even there. Like there's a moment with the Mad Thinker and he has them all in like these cells and he's like, you put like steam in there so that you could see her and she's not there. And he's like, oh crap. But some of the other stuff that happens is cool is like you see Claw and Black Panther, you get Namor. They all kind of tie into things later. And then you also have the birth of Victor Von Doom as Dr. Doom in this. The art is absolutely fantastic. Sean Isaacs is killing it. And they really kind of show you like how Reed kind of focused too much on his work and lost Sue. Cause at the end, she takes Franklin and leaves and moves in to a seaside house with Namor. Right. But you also see like Captain America and Falcon, and like the Thing moves in with it with Reed to kind of be like, hey buddy, it's cool.
So they had a kid, and then she became like the ignored housewife, and then she kind of just like acted out, and Namor was like, hey, I own the whole ocean, want to be with me?
Exactly. He was like, hey, okay, there, baby. Yeah, so it was definitely interesting. I really enjoyed it. I like that it's kind of an anthology, but not at the same time, because it kind of like works some stories in there. Although I as I was reading this book, I'm like, okay, so they're like in their 20s in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
So at the point when it becomes the 2000s, how are they going to like de-age them somehow? Or should we actually see like, or is this a setup? Is this a setup so that we're going to see Franklin having kids and then them having grandkids, like the fantastic grandkids? Like, how cool would that be?
I mean, if they do it in the same fashion that they did the Spider-Man life story, then they'll get old, because he got older. And then, when they had reached the 2000s, I think they introduced Miles into that whole thing. Okay. And it was like if I remember correctly, like a passing of the torch, like I'm too old for this. And Franklin's powers are pretty crazy. You know, mm-hmm. he could probably do something to keep his family young. I would think. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they explain his powers and what his, stuff is.
Is it bad that the only thing I really want to see in the 80s one is a moment with the Golden Oldie?
No, it's
like,
not.
Because we got to wait till Galactus shows up anyway, which looks like it'll probably be in the next one. If anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's it was a Marvel team up or Marvel 2-in-1 where Aunt May is babysitting Franklin, and Galactus shows up, and she agrees to be his new herald to leave the planet alone. And she becomes the Golden Oldie, and she looks like the Silver Surfer, but she's all gold, and she's flying around all gold, being old, Golden Oldie.
Yeah.
So I thought it was hilarious.
Has Herbie been in this at all yet?
They have not shown Herbie. They did show Hank Pym as well.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of cool, because like they're placing seeds for like the replacement Fantastic Four a little bit. And like the Avengers to set up. So that's kind of cool, but it isn't really like, it's not something you're going to need to invest a ton of time in. Like, this is a mini series. You're not going to be oh my God, I need to buy 15,000 copies of these. But it's a fun read. If you've never read Fantastic Four, it kind of gives you a good idea about it. If you're just sort of familiar with the Fantastic Four, it also helps you focus that story and get the main parts as they go, which is the reason I really enjoy it. So
I think it's interesting just because these characters live on when we're gone. Yeah. So it's neat to see how they would be if they were characters that live and died the same as us and age the same as us. So I like it for that. I think it's an interesting take. Surprised it took somebody this long to come up with it, but
well, it's like it's the 50th anniversary of the Fantastic Four this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so just the idea in general, because they did the Spider-Man one last year and now this one, and hopefully it would be cool if they did like a Captain America one. I think his would be really cool to see. And how they would do that and explain his aging process,
right?
Given that he has a serum. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Your next book, sir, is Boom! Heroes Return. That's fine.
This is Return. So, well, it's all part of the same. So it says number one, but when you look at like the covers, how they go, it's essentially an 8-issue series. The 7 issues, 6-inch issues introduces each one of the Squadron Supreme. 5 issues introduces Squadron Supreme. 6 issues is like their Justice Squadron Supreme of America. And then this is now them coming back. In the last issue, we saw President Phil Coulson. It ended with him holding what looked to be a cosmic cube, which was essentially, he called it the Pandemonium Cube, the Helahedron.
Helahedron.
It's basically Mephisto. Mephisto is using Phil Coulson. So I don't think Phil Coulson is evil. I think he's just warped by it now. He had an opportunity to make the world better, and he took it and used this cube to remake the world in Mephisto's image. And that's how we got to this point. So the Avengers that have assembled are like, oh, well, you know, now we kind of remember. There's huge fights, awesome battle scenes, epic spreads done by Ed McGuinness with cool characters facing off. The Black Panther was fighting Blur at one point, and he's like, I can keep up with you. And he's like, I can run like fast as hell, dude. How are you gonna keep up with me? He's like, well, I have a vibranium in my suit, and the vibranium still retains memory of things, and it has still retained the memory of when it was a meteor. So it's like it channels like the speed of like the meteor crashing to Earth, and he's like running alongside Blur, and then slashes his like Achilles tendons and takes him down. Awesome, cool fights with lots of people. This was the Star Brand kid. There were parts of this where it felt like, because before this event, the Star Brand was just a baby, and now this looks to be like maybe like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. So part of it makes me feel like this was an event that they did where they could age the Star Brand to make it more relevant in whatever story he has coming up. And I guess it would be any of the parts that had Star Brand felt like that. The rest of it was good. I mean, you could see these spreads are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Ed McGuinness is at like his best. The story was really good. Lots of epic fights. In the end, you know, it looks like the world is probably going to be put back to the way that it was. I would say pick it up and check it out. There's really cool connecting covers that run through this. But the interesting part was what happens at the end. This is Captain America and Steve Coulson fighting on top of his flying car. And you can see in his face how twisted he is right now. You know, so it's definitely the energy of this cube that has twisted Phil Coulson. This is one of the things we get at the end where Mephisto says, you know, they thought they could stop us, but what about the Council of Red, I think is what he called it.
Is that Spider-Ham?
It's every Mephisto from every Earth.
Oh, so it's the Spider-Ham universe Mephisto.
Mephisto-Ham or whatever, yeah.
Ham-Fisto?
Ham-Fisto. But like, you know, the Council of Reeds we've seen. That's similar to the Council of Reeds. It's like a council of all the Mephistos. This was what I was talking about with the covers. So if you haven't picked this up, I would. It's a lot of fun to read. And the covers, the connecting covers, are really cool. Make a big one. And then the second four make another one. So...
I think overall, I'd like the second one better. Slightly, though.
Overall, it was just Jason Aaron doing big, bold, kind of twisted takes on characters that we love and not taking too long to get to the point of things and getting into some fun and some action. And I think the next thing that comes up for Avengers is World War She-Hulk.
That's awesome. I'm excited for that.
She's kind of been put through the ringer in his whole run. A lot of fans aren't very happy with the treatment that she's gotten, but I think that's
part of the character. I really haven't liked her since Charles Soule's run.
It's just part of the, I think, character development. I think he was, especially with this World War She-Hulk, if that was his plan all along, you know, I think that's part of it. Beat her down, you know, put her through the ringer, and then she's finally going to snap. So, part of it just to, like, so people know is what happened in this Avengers run, but also in Immortal Hulk in the last issue, she sticks up for Bruce Banner over the Avengers. And they're not happy with her. So.
Interesting.
Yep.
I dig it though. I'm a big She-Hulk fan in general, so can't wait for the show. So. All right. My last book, Wonder Woman, Pittsburgh. I mean, Black and Gold. So, yeah, this goes in the same vein as like a Batman Black and White, except all of the pages have a gold, like where it's gold on her outfit, it also is gold in the book. And it's like five stories. And the first one's interesting because it really shows like this, like almost like 50s mother and daughter, relationship with her and Hippolyta, where like Hippolyta's sick, so she has to go back to Theramskia and like take care of her mom. She's like, you better not get me sick. And then she ends up sick. And then Hippolyta just is like consistently like smothering her, and she's like, stop smothering her. And then she like loses powers. And it's like, well, if you'd come by every once in a while, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, you know, that kind of thing. And then you find out it's because she's smothering her is the reason that her powers are going away. But there's this really fun, the last couple panels are great because at one point she packs Diana a lunch in a bag, and she's like, I packed you a lunch for the trip home. And she kisses her on the head, and she's like, I'll come back in a couple of weeks, and I'll try to remember to pack pajamas. And she's like, a couple of weeks? Talk about a needy child. The second one was interesting because it dealt with like Medusa and the underworld. The third one was kind of cool because it talked a lot about like her time in World War II and Batman. There's a scene where like the Justice League's hanging out and Batman's just kind of like, you're not 30, you're not 300. Generations after generation, we live and die, and you live on and on. So he basically like is like, you keep going, and you just kind of think we're like mayflies. And she's like, that's not true at all, and blah, blah, blah. And it kind of ties to it almost kind of ties to the first Wonder Woman movie in certain chunks. The next story was kind of cool because it had Etta Candy in it, and it was all done by Amy Reeder. And it was like she stops like a gold, her and Etta stop a gold heist, which was great. And Amy Reeder drew it and wrote it, which was great. The Wager is the last part. That's the Becky Cloonan story, which was actually my favorite. So she's getting ready to interrogate someone, and the guy is like, I don't think they actually say who the guy is. It doesn't really say. But the guy's like, oh, you're going to tie me up with your lasso and find out all the dirty things in my mind and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that's not really how this works. And then she's like, do you know how the story of the Golden Fleece? And he's like, yeah, it was guarded by a Hydra. And she's like, yeah. And then it was guarded by a bull who ate flesh, and I had to kill the bull. And then I had to take it to the Oracle, or the Fates, the three witch Fates. And they spun it together for me, and everybody has a lifeline. And what you think is your life and choices is actually fate, and everybody's thread is blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, she comes out and she says to Batman, I told you I didn't need to use it. And he's like, that's impressive. I'm always impressed. And she said, you also owe me 10 bucks. So it was very good. Like, I really enjoyed it. The art in all of these was really good. And I'm not a big black and white fan, but I think because it had the extra gold flavor in a lot of things, it was
very cool.
So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I can't wait for the next issue.
That cover, by the way, I just noticed when you had it up, is Jen Bartel, and that's impressive because she is the queen of crazy colors and warm tones and stuff. So for her to do like a black and white and then just have that yellow gold is
right.
That's super cool.
Yeah. It's super.
So I don't want to hear anybody anymore ever say that she can't do normal colors, because that black and gray looks great.
Yeah. I just like her style in general. So
it's like real soft airbrushy, but like with detail, more detail. I don't know how to, that's the best I can explain it.
I kind of think of it as water, right? Like where the ripples need to be are very defined, but everything else is just kind of flowy. And, and that's why I really enjoy it. I think it just kind of, it has this cool, like almost blur on the parts you don't want to focus on. And the parts that you want to focus on are very focused.
And you need more to survive.
Yes.
Because it's water.
It's true. My body's made up of 90% Jen Bartel.
Jen Bartel.
All right. Here's your last book.
Gamma Flight.
I was about to read this. This was going to be my backup if you had read one of my other ones.
If you're not reading Immortal Hulk, it's probably, I don't know, it feels like it's just a little mini that's going to spin out of Immortal Hulk. Just to tell their story, because at the last issue when the Avengers were going after the Hulk and Betty, and as I was saying, when She-Hulk takes their side, Gamma Flight shows up and they're like, hey, like we're gonna take these Gamma people, we're gonna take them, we're gonna make sure that the right things get done with them. And the Avengers are like, you're not going to do that. Like, we don't care. You have no authority here. And so they help the Hulk out and they're fighting against the Avengers. So they're on the run. So this whole story is them on the run. They're hitting up different shadow bases, stripping them for things that they need. Apparently shadow bases have PlayStation 4s. as we see, the Rick Jones and Dr. Fry kind of merged together playing, and apparently Dr. Fry has the same temper as I do with PlayStation 4s, as he has shattered his controller. So the book is a lot of setup for what's going to come in the next four issues. Titania gets engaged to Absorbing Man. She proposes to him and she gives him an adamantium ring, so now he always has adamantium on him that he can absorb and turn into, and it comes to play in this battle. This was them sitting there watching the TV, and there's a gamma monster that's attacking Austin, so they go to try to help out, and they're discovering that somebody is creating gamma monsters and they're losing control of them, and they want to try to get their gamma monsters back. My guess is probably like Henry Gyrick or something like that, because his experiment with Alpha Flight didn't go so well. But it's a three quarters of it's a setup for what's going to happen in the next couple issues. But that's the basic overview, is they're going to try and hunt down these gamma monsters so they can put a stop to whoever's creating gamma monsters and being irresponsible with them and letting them get out. So, awesome. So it's pretty good.
So. Is it better than Gamma Force? Do you remember when Gamma Force came out? Or the Incredible Hulks?
Like, I remember the Incredible Hulks, and the Incredible Hulks was good. I don't remember Gamma Force, but the Incredible Hulks was fun. So
yeah,
Incredible Hulks had more issues though, right? Like this is just a five-issue miniseries, so I would imagine they're probably going to move pretty quick on wherever they're going. So
right. Yeah, I just always like it when it's like crazy random people that shouldn't be gamma radiated get gamma radiated, and then all of a sudden it's like random extra Hulks, and you're like, what the hell? So
yeah.
All right. So we have been asked to show off our t-shirts.
I saw.
Hold on, I gotta let me see if I can get this to do full screen first. Speaker. Right. Hold on, it's on speaker mode. So
mine doesn't. I can't show mine because mine.
We do full screen. Yeah.
As I've been sitting on my couch, recovering, I've gotten various sauces and things on this shirt. So
it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So, oh, I guess it is doing it. It's just I can't see it on my own. Okay. So, all right, hold on. I'm going to just do this. And this is my Speed Freak shirt. And my wife got me this, I think, at Walmart like 10 years ago. And I still love it.
Mine is Yeti to Party. So, and I got it at Old Navy. So, if you just look up Old Navy Yeti to Party, you should be able to find it, but I'm not going to show off all the sauce that is on my shirt. That is why I'm doing this.
The headshot only.
Headshot only. So
it's all good. It's all good.
It's one of those things. Like I'm just sitting here and I'm like, sometimes I'm eating sitting up and other times I'm like laying down with like no energy. So I'm like, trying to eat while laying down and you're doing this thing where you're working the spoon and then I get it on me and I'm just like, oh well, that's there now. So
yeah, I was just like, now that you said that, I'm like, you know what, I think I do have stuff to make spaghetti. That might be what I make tonight after this is over. Yeah, so all right, so we'll talk a little bit about Loki and then that'll be pretty much it for this week. This week's going to be a little shorter. Next week, we'll probably go long with both Ron and Carl.
Fan Fest.
It's going to be crazy. So you'll get to meet Carl, some of our amazing, amazing fans.
Carl Fan Fest messaged me one. And said that he should be good. And Ron messaged me and he's like, how do I get you guys my images for whatever books I want to talk about and stuff? And I told him to just send them to me. So Ron's going to be good too. So.
Oh, Ron already emailed me his email to make sure that I have, he's like, make sure you send me the link here. And I'm like, okay, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
So I got you, bro. Yeah. I got you. So Ron and Carl, you'll get that link around 6:45, just so you know, and then we'll make sure everything's working and we'll be good to go. Just so you guys know, if you have earpieces, like headsets, wear those. It does help keep the echo down. If you have a better mic, you can also use that. I bought this awesome USB one for $30 on Amazon, and it's been epic. So not bad. All right. So let's talk Loki a little bit. Episode 3, spoiler free. Or if you want to do spoilers, we can just tell them to stop listening right now. It's up to you.
I don't think there was really anything to really spoil because it was more of like this female Loki and the Loki we know kind of getting to know each other. That was pretty much, they're in a jam. And he's learning about her and her magic and vice versa. I definitely think that this is Enchantress. There's one point where she grabs Loki and she tries to enchant him. And he goes, are you trying to enchant me right now? And she's like, yeah, but it's not working. So I think that him saying that line was kind of like the little nod to that this is the Enchantress.
Well, she kept saying enchanting stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, but like the whole thing was... It was a lot of fun. The shots were great. The action was great. There was a really cool part where they're on this train trying to leave this planet and they're sitting talking about love and Loki uses this metaphor that's just kind of whack and also gives you a sense of like his mind and what his mind is like because of how he describes it. But it was his love is a dagger metaphor. Which was really good.
Which made there was a part great sense until the end.
Yeah, until the end. He's like, I don't know.
He was like super trashed. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this is the first episode that you see a little bit more of that more comic-y like Loki that you see in like Ragnarok. But they still, I still think it's got a great tone of phase one, which is what I really enjoy about it. So I really love
shot you really liked, right?
Yeah, yeah. So my favorite shot is the last shot of the episode, and it's called a one-er. And what a one-er is where the camera doesn't really come off the characters on the screen, and they just follow them through all kinds of crazy shit. And this one-er is like super good. It's like 6 or 7 minutes long. It's nuts. But it is probably one of the best ones I've ever seen. And the weirder part is like, I'm thinking, man, they had to do that with probably like a green screen. Like how, like, how, like, did they shoot them doing it first? Or did they like kind of go, here's where things are going to be. And like, you need to run here. You need to run there. Like,
I would think that they would have, even if the,
and how big of a freaking room do you need to do this shot?
Yeah. Well, even if the buildings weren't the final look of the buildings, like painted and everything, if they were just green screen structures, I would imagine that they had something with doors that they could kind of weave in and out of. If you're looking for another example of anybody that wants to know what a one-er is, they did, I think 1917 was done in that same fashion, which was like the largest one-er that's ever existed.
The whole thing was a one-er, I think.
So it was all
in real time, right?
Yeah, it was all in real time. There was parts where they stopped and told little stories, but the majority of the movie is all just a giant one-er, like running through trenches and stuff like that. But that's kind of what I was, when I saw these explosions going off and debris flying everywhere, it was like, this is Marvel's 1917.
So, think of like a great example of what a one-er kind of feels like and looks like is like a first person shooter. Like if you've ever played like Medal of Honor and you've just run around and watch shit blow up and tried to get through things, that's what it feels like to be in a one-er. Or to watch a one-er. So I really enjoyed that shot. I thought it was great. So Carl, love is like oxygen. Yes. I enjoyed that. I love that song.
I enjoyed the back and forth between them a lot. It was cool to get to know her character. And then there was the reveal, I think the biggest reveal of the whole episode, which kind of flew under the radar, was that the TVA had said that these people that work for the TVA are created by the TVA. And you find out that they've actually had lives before that. When female Loki goes inside the one TVA agent's mind, it takes her back to when she's at the beach and that she loves mojitos or margaritas. So margaritas, I thought that was a really, I thought that was a really interesting reveal, because there were parts of the first two episodes that made us feel like that maybe this whole TVA was kind of like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing, you know? It's this grand magical power, but once you pull back the curtain, it's just like three weirdos standing on stools with cloaks on or something, you know? So
I really want the end of this to be that we see Uatu. I really want Uatu to be at the end of this.
It would be cool. I think for sure it would be cool. I'd like to see them in more of a fashion than what we saw in that. Was it Guardians 2 that we saw them in?
Yeah.
Stan Lee
was
working for them.
He's telling them the report.
So I would like to see them do Uatu and do it not so much as a joke, you know, make it a serious thing. So
I think that would be great.
But so far the whole season, I mean, the first three episodes have been fantastic. This is more on par with what we saw with WandaVision, and how there's just these mysteries, you know, whereas Falcon was just this buddy cop action thing with like a really decent message that they wanted to get across. This is more mystery, you know?
I think we're going to see that bounce back and forth, because the next one is Hawkeye later in the year.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be more buddy copy And then after that is, I don't remember. But it really does set up the whole multiverse. It sets up a lot of stuff. And I think, and I also, here's the other thing, and we talk, like, this ties into one of the books I read. And what if we find out this whole thing is just Franklin Richards kicking balls into the universe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's actually in Nathaniel Richards or Franklin Richards' closet. Like like the end of the episode, he just walks out and he's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm Franklin." Like, yeah. Like, I can't wait for that to happen. That'd be so cool. There you go, Speckers. Suck it.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl brought up a good point about it setting up for what if. There's been a lot of people talking about that too, and I never thought about that. That the possibility of the cartoon kind of being canon with some kind of an offshoot, you know, different worlds and stuff. So that's actually a really cool idea.
Canon, but not canon because it's a what if.
Yeah. I will say this, for as much as I love Disney Plus and all the stuff that they've given us and as much stuff as I binged in the last 2 weeks, I saw the most disappointing thing about Disney Plus the other day. They are remaking Turner and Hooch. They are remaking Turner and Hooch. And the whole thing is, it's the sequel to the original one, and Tom Hanks is dead. And this is his son, who is also a cop, who also gets a dog.
Isn't it Hooch's puppy, though? It's got to be it's got to be Hooch's puppy.
It probably is. It was Tom Hanks' dog. That when he dies, he leaves it to like his son, who's also. So I'm like, why you got to do this? And I mean, they picked a cool actor. It was the one kid from Drake and Josh. So I think he's starting to become a cool actor and do some cool things. But man, I'm so bummed that they're going to do a sequel and they quietly kill off Tom. You know, quietly kill off Tom Hanks in the other room. That's not how that goes.
Right.
So,
well, anyway, I did finish my True Blood rewatch this week. So here's how I explain it to people for those who have ever actually wanted to watch the show. The first three seasons are very good. The next two seasons after that are pretty good, but not as good as the first three.
Yeah.
The sixth season is okay, but it gets weird. Yeah. And then the seventh season, the first half of it is super phoned in. And then the last couple episodes, they really wrap things up quickly and nicely and wrap it in a bow for you. But they really it felt like they were like, oh crap, we need to figure out how to wrap up a couple storylines. And they just kind of jammed them into, I felt like it was two seasons in one. But it was very good. And Deborah Ann Wolfe, who played, what's her name on Daredevil? She was the,
She played Karen Page. Yeah.
Karen Page. That's it. Yeah.
Chip's in love with her.
I know.
That's like it. And I don't like her at all because I'm not a fan of moles.
Mm.
And she has so many moles on her neck. And I know that's a terrible thing to say. It's just like at any point.
They're a beauty mark.
Either way, it's a distraction. I'm trying to watch the show and I'm connecting the dots and making pictures. I don't know. Anyways, I finished Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Finally.
That's good.
I think it's probably better than Clone Wars, the animated series, the Clone Wars one. Clone Wars is great and it gives you a lot of the characters that you already knew and loved. This is other characters interacting and I didn't know how much I was going to love these characters. So, and I'm really excited because it sets up for the Ahsoka series. At the end of this, Sabine Wren is like going off with Ahsoka and she's going to go find Ezra. So that's where the Ahsoka show is supposed to pick up, is with her and Sabine going to find Ezra who disappeared with Thrawn. So, yeah, so it's awesome. If you've never watched it, but you've watched the Clone Wars one, I would highly recommend watching it. I think it's probably better than Clone Wars. So we both our rewatches of stuff.
Woo! Now my wife has had me start Manifest, which I've already seen the first season and a half. So we're almost through season one. I thought it was pretty good. It reminded me a lot of Lost.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to watch it. And then I saw they canceled it, but I guess now Netflix is maybe picking it up.
I think there's a season still coming out, though. Like season
there's a season four? That's it's still three? Coming out, but then it was like canceled after that. By NBC, and now I guess they're talking about that Netflix might pick it up and finish it. So
that's cool. I think it's pretty good. So
just like Lost, freaking NBC, start something good and then
Lost was on ABC. That to us.
Oh, it was on ABC. Is Which Manifest they also on ABC?
Maybe
it is.
Maybe. Hold on.
They check. Do all do that. It's irritating.
I think you're right though.
Because the guy that's the one main character in Manifest was on that what was the show that was like the Disney with Snow White and all that, the live action one.
Once Upon a Time, which was Once very Upon good. A Time. I really enjoyed it. It is on NBC.
Okay.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time was on ABC too.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time was good until the Elizabeth or the Swan character or whatever her name was.
I liked it until she left. The Neverland story.
Yeah.
And then from there to the end of the second to last season was really reachy. And then that's when Jennifer Morrison left. And actually almost the entire cast left. Except for, I think, Evil Queen, Rumpelstiltskin, and there's, like, one or two more. But it's, like, it's the kid, it's Henry grown up, and it's, like, he finds a different Cinderella, which makes no sense.
They were trying to soft reboot it.
Yeah, it was very nice. It felt like Scrubs Med School.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you're like, it's part of canon, but it's kind of not canon.
Yeah.
Wish it wasn't there. But I also thought it was cool that they brought in like Dream and like that whole, like the Sandman kind of stuff at the end of Once Upon a Time, like the main stuff, like in season six, I think. But it was very good. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
At least Scrubs had the med school one had Dave Franco in it. He was hilarious. he
outside of the new cast, he was like the main reason to watch that show.
Yes, absolutely. He was the reason I tuned in every week because of, you know, you watch for JD and Turk and those guys, but like for the new people, he was absolutely the only reason to watch that.
So I enjoyed it. All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week for FanFest 1. We may do that a couple times if it goes well. So, Carl, Ron, no pressure. So, that's about it. Thanks again for watching tonight, guys. We'll see everybody next week. And hopefully we'll see some of you guys at the appreciation sale this weekend.
So yeah. I'll be there with my foot propped up.
Word. Oh, that's right. You're working behind the counter just to be there.
Yep.
All right, cool. Have a great one, guys.
See you guys.